Vote everybody on. Okay, good morning. So I'm going to focus today, you guys. Thanks for everybody coming this morning. I'm going to focus on some listing and seller counseling strategies for you guys this year, and just focus on the selling side and the listing side and the seller counseling side. And then has stop me for questions anytime, or I'll check in on you guys and just check on if you have any questions for me and that. But today's focus is going to be on listings and on sellers and listing strategies and that, and nuggets that I hope you guys will be able to take away for you and your business and that. So I'm going to open up today's conversation about how to get listings and what I think are some of the best ways to get listing inventory and to bring in listings into your arsenal. So I know this seems very, very trivial and very, very simple, but I think it's something that agents tend to forget all the time. And that is actually asking for them. So you take it for granted. And I don't know how many of you have had clients that listed with someone else and you're like, man, what did you list with Bob for? And you're like, well, I didn't know you wanted business, or I forgot about you. Or honestly, they'll say you never asked, right? So I remind you guys, how many of you actually do an ad campaign, or you mention or put a broadcast out that I'm now taking listings? So 4 times a year, I'll do an email blast and a social media blast where I'll show maybe my print ad or an ad that I'm running. And I'll just say, this spot could be yours, or I'm taking listings now, and just announcing that you're now taking on new listings and you have availability and openings to take listings. Just that subtle subliminal message of asking people for their listings and asking for listings in that business is an important thing. So I'm a huge believer that if you don't ask, then you don't get, if that makes sense to everybody. One thing that I do, and all my coaching clients, the second nugget I have for you is we send out CMA packages. So we're sending out comp packages from November 15th to March 15th. What else do we have to do? I mean, especially in Saskatchewan, it snows so much and so bloody cold that you've got lots more time in your hands. It's been busy this winter for us, and I hope it's been busy for you guys this winter. But normally you have the time. And what I suggest you guys doing is you put together just the 6 month actives, solds, expireds, put them in a package, put a cover letter together saying, here's your 2020 market report or 2021 market report. And for making sure that as a value add that you can make sure that you have enough insurance coverage for your property this year, making sure that you might want to look at an equity takeout, you might look at a refi, you might look at an opportunity to do a tax planning situation or estate planning. And so my cover letter is mainly on, here's a value add to you guys in order to be able to do these things. I had no intention of marketing or listing or selling your house, but you plant the seed. And what happens is they start looking at the comps and look at the packages, and it may end up triggering a listing or a sale for you in the springtime. So you're planting that seed in November, December, January, and February for them to contact you in March, April, and May to list from the packages. Okay?
There we go.
So in your cover letter, it's just a package for you to make sure you have enough coverage for insurance, maybe some equity takeout where your equity position is, maybe looking at a refi or tax planning or estate planning or retirement planning, just a complimentary package. And I encourage you guys to do that every year. You just never know. People are like, hey, wait, I noticed in the package, though, you didn't tell us what you thought our properties were. So that's intentional. So remember not to put in what you think their home is worth. Just put in the comps in the package and mail it. Call them 7 days later and say, hey, Bryn, it's Wade here. How you doing? Just want to check in and see if you got your market report package. Yeah, yeah, thanks, Wade. Hey, Wade, I noticed that you didn't put what you thought it was worth. And you just say, well, for insurance purposes and for legalities and that, I'm obligated to view every property that I put a price to. When would be a good time for me to come by your place, Bryn, and take a look at it and see what we can do before I give you a number? Okay, so it's triggering that listing appointment. I'll also ask Bryn, hey, Bryn, do you have other properties like a lake cottage, rental, commercials, anything like that, that you'd like me to do an evaluation for as well? Complimentary. And then the last question I'll have for Bryn is, hey, do you have any other people or anyone else that I might be able to do the same service for as well? Okay. So unsolicited packages. Don't email PDFs, guys. the perception of the value of you mailing a package with a cover letter explaining why you've done this package for them and them opening that package is far greater perception than them getting a PDF email and what your a level of service and value you're delivering. And then you have an excuse to call 5-7 days later, follow up, got any other properties, got any other friends, got anything else, like any questions about it, and do that. Okay. So number one is asking. Number two is unsolicited comp packages and mailing them out and following up. Okay. Any questions on that? Good. All right. And it works. Trust me. I have one agent this year that's already got a couple of them just from the packages, the CMA packages sending out. Expireds and FSBOs. I love this category. You may not be able to do this in your trading area because they already want to sell. One of them already wants to pay commissions. One of them already wants to work with a realtor. They're a great source of listings in that. I won't go into detail, but they're a great source. Another area that I'm finding with my coaching clients is a door knock. And so a door knock for only two reasons, okay? The only two door knocks that work is we just sold from our marketing efforts. We have other people still looking in the area, missed out on that property and that, and that just sold door knock works, okay? The other one that works is not lying about it, but if you have a bona fide buyer. So if you don't have a just sold in the room, then use another members in the offices with permission sold. And if you don't have a bona fide buyer, then use another buyer. So say Brent has a buyer, a couple, tell me about your buyer, Brent. I'm going to go out and nail that area. And you make me a promise that if I find something that you'll show it to them so I don't lie and I don't get egg my face that I'm misrepresenting that I have a buyer. The other thing when you're door knocking is don't miss out on the opportunity. We use a generic blank door hanger, paper door hanger, and we leave it on there. You hand write out why you were there. We have a buyer, needs your help. Thinking of selling or know somebody in the neighborhood, call me Wade. Or handwrite, we just sold, other people still looking, handwrite on the door hanger, the paper door hanger, and hang that on the door so you don't miss out on the opportunity to door knock. Last year I had one rookie agent that door knocked with the other agent's buyers and other agents sold in our list in our office last year. She got 16 listings and two of them just came from hanging the paper door hanger on the door and not even talking to them. They called her from the door hanger paper. Okay. So another way of you being able to get another listing opportunity, just sold, have a buyer. I'll tell you a great story. One of the guys in my office last summer took his buyers with them and door knocked with his buyers. True story. Young couple. And he knocked on the door and he's like, hi, I'm John. This is my clients. And he introduced them. He got into six doors in 20 knocks for a listing appointment. They're like, for the right price, we'd consider it. Come on in. And he got invited into six homes with his clients and a 20-door knock in an afternoon. And he went back. They didn't buy any of those six, but he went back and he got two of those listings after he had door knocked using his young couple, a bona fide buyer's young couple on a knock. So there's another great strategy is bring them with you. Okay. Now, the 80s called. They want you to stop using the term CMA, complimentary market evaluation. Okay. Write this down. The new term and the service that you guys offer is an equity analysis. Okay. It's called an equity analysis. So your ad on Facebook, you'll see what's your home worth and that. Stop doing those ads on Facebook. Stop doing those ads on Google Pay-Per-Click. Start using it. Curious about how much equity you have in your property, question mark. A complementary property equity analysis is the new terminology that we're using in 2020, okay? 80s called free home market evaluations, free CMAs. They're done. Stop using that term. We're using that term for over 100 years now. We're now going to start mixing it up. So you start attracting a different demographic now using an equity analysis ad, okay, instead. Next one, GeoFarm. Get a ton of good traction and good opportunity. Anybody in the room, hands up, working a GeoFarm, an actual strategic GeoFarm, a neighborhood or a specific demographic or anything like that? This is hugely successful. I have one agent in my office. He's a red diamond. He does three buildings, all with over a 10% annual turnover rate, about 160 GCI a year in three buildings doing a geofarm and listings. He got 21 listings in one building last year alone from working a geofarm. So he personally mails, not unaddressed ad mails, he personally mails everybody in the building three times a year, and he ends up with, he had about 21 listings last year in one building. Obviously, open houses are a great opportunity, floor duties, kiosks are great opportunities, and then you can do a direct mail flyer piece or postcard piece, but again, remember, in my experience, all the people that I've dealt with and all the hundreds of coaching clients that I've dealt with, just sold and we have a buyer, the only direct mail pieces that I think you have a chance with. Okay. So those are some of the listing strategies and ways to get the listings that are working out there today. And again, hopefully some of these will help you get some listings yourself in the next quarter and that, and going through that strategy. So we've covered on how to get listings and how to get listing appointments. Let's move into the listing process or strategies itself. So I'm going to talk about the pre-appointment strategies and what you should do before you've actually even met with Brandon and his wife. Okay. So one thing's for sure. How many of you in the room, hands up, actually call to confirm the date, the time, and everybody's going to be able to still, and you're giving them a courtesy call and confirming your date and time and a courtesy call that the appointment and the appointment time is still good for everybody. Okay. So strategy number one is you'll already oversee and probably beat out a ton of agents just by making a courtesy call and confirming the appointment. You don't want to be like the dentist office and call them six times. Call them once, call them ahead. Just say, hey, it's Wade calling Brent. Just want to check in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Still good for you and your wife. Good. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And then what I do is I say, before I let you go tonight, can I just ask you a couple questions? And I'm going to send Brent, I've already emailed this to Brent. This is a pre-listing appointment questionnaire. So this is really good listing appointment pre-questionnaire information intel that I can get on Brandon and his wife before I've met them tomorrow and before I'm meeting with them. So what I used to do, and if you have an assistant in the room, I used to get my assistant, Kelly or Barb, to do this because the sellers would be open and they would literally answer all these questions on these three pages to the girls. And they would be open to do it. So if you can get an assistant or get somebody to do that, if you can't, be yourself. But there are questions like, who else are you interviewing? When are you going to want the marketing to start? What are some of the most important factors that you'll make to your decision based on who you choose? What's your equity position in your property? Do you have other properties that you might consider selling? When do you have to move by? It's a good in-depth questionnaire, pre-questionnaire. If my assistants did a fabulous job of filling this out and handing it to me before I went to my appointment the next night, if I got the listing, I would put a nice, sorry, if there's any assistants in the room, sorry to the agent there, I would put a $100 bill on my desk as a bonus to my assistant for helping me get the listing and filling this pre-listing questionnaire out so well before I went to the listing appointment. Okay. So you confirm the appointment, you confirm their date, their time, everybody's still available and is still good. You go through this pre-listing appointment questionnaire, a lot of good intel on the clients and their property before you arrive. And then the last thing my assistant or you need to do is let them know that you'll be delivering a pre-appointment package, okay? And that they need to go through that package and look through that information. Anybody in the room have a pre-buyer or pre-seller package already themselves? Good. Awesome. So Matt Miller from Saskatoon, Bryn. Calls me, one of his chairman club guys, says it's so competitive in Saskatoon to get listings in that. I asked the gentleman, do you have a pre-listing appointment package? And he's like, no. So we put one together for him, and now he is winning 95% of every listing appointment based on handing out this. So this is what it looks like. He has a hard-covered book, glossy book, like a photo book, a coffee table quite quality book, and that has who he is, what he's doing, what the steps are, the process, that. And that gets couriered with a bunch of swag delivered to the sellers before he even arrives. This is some of my other coaching clients. They're basket type personalities. So depending on whether you're a basket type personality or whether you're a book type personality, having this couriered or delivered to a seller in advance completely wows them, impresses them, and awes them. I have a checklist, Bryn, in that email I sent you that has all the items that I would suggest you putting into this package and putting into this basket and having this delivered to them in advance. It sets you yourself apart. It gets them really impressed with you before you arrive. And the most important thing, I think, is when I ask Bryn and his wife, have you had a chance to go through it? I now know whether I've got to do the full meal presentation or if I can just customize and tweak and do a shorter condensed version because they've gone through the book, they've gone through the packages, and they've gone through the information. And now I'm asking them, what would they like me to really focus in on based on what they read in those packages, that I can give them more of a custom type of presentation versus than the full meal deal package. I'll do the full meal deal package if they haven't had a chance to look at this and use this, okay? So I know for a fact that this changed Matt's number one guy in his office and his listing appointments, and they compete and battle with people undercutting commissions and things like that, and he's winning all of them now more than he's ever done. And it's as simple as this powerful, impressive package. Now, they cost, the books cost about $30 a piece. You can get them on Shutterfly or Staples or things like that. If he doesn't get the listing, then he asks for the book back, right? And just as a courtesy, and ask for the book back. So just a tip on it there. If you're worried about the $35 expense and you lose them, then they just ask for it back. Okay. All right. So those are the pre things: calling and confirming the appointment, doing the pre-appointment questionnaire, delivering a package, getting that whole pre-appointment process, wowing and awing them. So now, this is the first time I'm going to the home and meeting with Brendan and his wife. This is my first stop. All right. So there's a story out there, and there's a belief out there that you got to do a one stop or you got to do a two stop. Okay. So I am a firm believer, if you can, and every time you can, do a two stop. And what I end up doing here, and I'm going to talk to you about this, on my first stop, I am literally going to take the time to educate a seller on the importance of choosing and working with a two-stop lister versus a one-stop lister. And those one-stoppers in the room, I'm going to quietly break your kneecaps without touching you with your sellers to take you out of the mix of the competition of the listings, because I'm going to explain to them that you're winging it and that you're just making up a number and you're doing it all in one stop. And there's so much money on the line that that's probably not being responsible. And I'm going to get the seller to buy in on the importance and the belief and the benefits to them of working with the two-stop lister versus a one-stop, okay? And I'm going to do my best to try and educate them and do that. On my first stop, the very first thing, I don't rush. I spend as much time as possible building rapport. I know it's a simple thing in that, but if you rush and you take the time, you don't take the time to get them to trust you, like you, and having connection moment, you've jeopardized the situation and that. So you've got to just slow it down, take your time, build rapport with them, get a connection. You use the Ford technique: family, occupation, recreation, dreams. You have pre-qualifying questions, you have pre-information questions, and you take all the time you have and need to get them to trust you and like you, okay? Asking them questions like, when do they need to move by? Why do they need to sell? How are they going to do it, cash, or they have equity in it? And take your time to identify their motivation, their timing, their situation. Take your time to build rapport. And then the last thing, I tell them all the things we're going to do, and that's called the safe island technique. So telling people what's going to happen before it happens is an incredibly comforting and stress relieving awkwardness moment when you first met with people. So tell them what you're going to do. Tell them how you're going to do it. Tell them all the things that transpire in those two stops and that, and take them out on that safe island and get them to feel comfortable when they know what's going to happen before it happens. Okay. And I know that people in the room that I'm talking to need to and enjoy and appreciate knowing what's going to happen before it happens. It's called the safe island. Take them out on that safe island. Okay. All right. Next stop. While I'm at the first stop again, now it's tour time. So I'm going to tour the property. I tell Brendan and his wife, nobody knows your home better than you guys do. You show me so that I don't miss a thing on it. Show me what you'd like me to show and how you'd like me to show it to prospective buyers. You know your home best. Let's go through it. I'm going to follow them behind, make notes. I'm going to take photos and I'm going to take measurements. Why I'm taking photos and measurements is that I need to go back and research. My memory is good. It's just really short. So I'm going to take photos and I'm going to take measurements as we tour through. And I'm going to use that to be able to do a better job of getting and coming up with your price and doing a better job on your pricing process. And I subliminally, when I'm taking photos and taking measurements, I'm sending a message that I'm taking their listing as well, right? Okay. Now, during that walkthrough, I'm asking them how many properties have they sold before, when did they sell your last one, what were your experiences with that salesperson in the past, you know, what do you like best, what do you like least, you know, should I include this, should we include that? So I'm using a lot of should-we's and should-we's as we're walking through and touring it. I'm pointing out flaws in the property in that. So if there's a hole in their screen door, I just stick my head through the screen door and write down hole in screen door on my pad. I don't say anything. And every time I do something like stick my head through a screen door or wipe the counter and wipe the dirt off and make a note on my pad, they're always asking me what? Should we fix that? Should we clean that? Should we do this and that? And I just respond, I would. Okay. So as I'm pointing out flaws of their property, I'm also getting them to beat themselves down on their expectation of price. I'm not telling them that their house is messy. I'm not telling them that there's a hole in their screen door. I'm just pointing out the flaws, writing down on my notepad as I'm walking through. It breaks them down and beats them down on their expectation of price as I'm going through the tour. So it's important that you do that while you're touring the property, asking questions, taking notes, use a lot of should we and should we this and should we that as you're walking through it. And here's a set of questions, and I'll send you the slide deck so that you have questions to ask while you're touring through the property. Okay. Now, step number three in this first stop is educating them. The benefits to them of a two-stop process versus a one-stop process agent. Okay. So I take the time to explain the accuracy and the magnitude of money that's involved, and they're, if they're coming one time, they're literally just guessing and kind of rolling the dice on the price and that. And I think that you and your home is worth it to have that two-stop process. There's a lot of money on the line. I want to be accurate. I want to be able to hear your story. I love this line. I want to hear your story, and I want to hear your property's story. Because your story and your property story has a huge impact on the value that we're going to be able to put on this property in this home. And this is why I come to listen to your story and your property story, the first stop, and then come back and give you the second stop with the price. Okay. And then the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to educate them. And I don't know how many of you do this, but you cannot assume that everybody knows what you guys do in your pricing process. So you got to educate them. I'm going back to the office, Bryn, and I'm going to spend a day or two. We're going to research assessment values. We're going to use cost method, cash flow method analysis. We're going to use depreciation. We're going to use comparison methods. I'm going to go through bedrooms, bathrooms, square footages, lot sizes. There's so much information that I've got to look at and research and take into consideration the pricing of your home, including your story and your home story, that it's an in-depth, massive undertaking. And because of that undertaking, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Can I ask you, please, not to make a decision until we meet again and you hear what I've come up with? Can I ask you to do that? And I get him to give me a handshake and get him to give me a verbal agreement that he would avoid making a decision before we come back and do that, okay? The last thing I think on the first stop is to make sure that you know before you come back the second time how much money Bryn and his wife want. My favorite question, you can write this down. You guys, if I needed a briefcase full of cash to put on your dining room table tomorrow to get you to pack up and leave, how much cash do I need in that briefcase? It's my favorite question, the briefcase question. Instead of asking them how much do you want or how much do you think it's worth or that, they're going to be like, I don't know, Wade, you're the expert. You tell us. That's what we hired you for. I always use the briefcase question and ask them how much cash I need in a briefcase, and they will tell you what they need, and you'll at least have an insight on what they want and what they need before you come back the second time and deliver what your thoughts are on the price of that, okay? Before I leave the first stop, I make sure they're clear on the benefits to them of two-stop process agent. I clear on the magnitude of work and that they're not going to make a decision. And then I make sure that everybody's available for the second meeting and that everybody and all the decision makers are going to be present. And I know how much they want and they think their property's worth before I leave. And then I had a local chocolatier build a thank you chocolate bar. And I leave that thank you chocolate bar and some more swag with them between my first stop and my second stop. Just like the pre-listing package, the swag that I leave between the first stop and second stop, another token parting gift, reciprocity, and make them feel like they like me and trust me more and they want to do business with me. So leave that parting gift before that first stop and second stop appointment. Okay. Any questions on the pre-game stuff? Any questions on the first stop process and things that you focus on during that first process? Are we good? Good? All right. Now, I go back to the office. I do what I told them I do, right? And they think that you guys just press a button and it spits out a number. That's the furthest thing from the truth. So I come back on my second stop. I start small talk. I don't talk about real estate. I don't talk about their house. I don't want to jump right into business. I want to show them that I care. People don't care what I know until they know that I care. So I won't jump into business. I might talk about the football game on Sunday. I might talk about something else and get warm and fuzzy. Another thing that I might do is just recap and summarize our meeting notes from the first time we met. And if you really love your house and you're so proud of your house, I'll get you to take me through and tour me through again. It's showtime, and I know you love it and you want to show me again, and I'll go through a second time just to get us to feel comfortable, just to get us in the groove, to get the energy and the level and the appointment and the second stop set before I jump right into business and shop, I don't want to jump right in. I want to take that time to really establish rapport and get us back on track and feeling good and trusting and liking each other before I jump into the process. Okay. Now, as I'm doing that, I get the second tour in that, and now it's showtime. Okay. So I am going to explain to you and write this down, the benefits to you of while I want to tell you why I want to show you and why I want to do a presentation. Okay. Write this down. Every time you do not do a proper listing presentation, you rob your clients of their greatest gift to you. Every time you do not do a listing presentation and do a proper formal presentation, you rob the greatest gift your clients can give you, and that is to be able to advocate on your behalf. So Brendan and his wife are going to ask, you know, why, what was Wade so good and why was he so special at? And he's going, you know what? He just was. I don't know what it was. I'm going to spend a couple minutes showing you what I do and why me, why my brokerage, why my marketing plan, and why now. And I'm going to take that time to do that so that I don't rob them of their greatest gift, and that's to advocate and tell my story. But how I'm going to open up is I'm going to say, Brendan, you guys, just so you understand, there's a myth out there that all agents are the same, all brokerages are the same, all marketing plans are the same. And could I take a few minutes today to show you that that is the furthest thing from the truth? Okay. I want to just show you some stuff. It'll take me 22 minutes. And the reason why I say 22 minutes, you guys, is that is the average adult's attention span and declining every day, right? So you got 22 minutes to tell them why you, why your brokerage, why your marketing plan, and why now. Okay. Also, when I tell you what I do in that, you're going to see what I'm supposed to be doing, hold me accountable, and make sure that it's done with excellence. And it's a more transparent process where you're going to see when you're feeling like there's nothing happening in your home, I want you to see what's going to be happening 24/7 in behind the scenes. So if you don't mind, would you mind if I just took 20 minutes and just debunk that myth, show you what I do so you can hold me accountable, and just show you behind the scenes and what's going on 24/7? Would that be okay with you guys? And they say, yeah, absolutely. So I go through my process. I go through my listing process. I got 5 minutes to explain to them the bigness, how they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And maybe in another session, we'll go through the actual, I'll actually present a listing presentation for you guys if you want to do that, Bryn. The second thing, I'm going to take 5 minutes to talk to them about how we sell homes. We don't list homes. There's a difference. So I take another 5 minutes to show how I get results and how I sell homes and not list homes. The third thing is I talk to you about for 5 minutes about my marketing plan. I share with you the traditional ways in which I'm going to do my marketing plan, but I highlight all the bleeding edge and all the leading edge stuff that I do for my marketing plan. And then the last 5 minutes, I've got handling holy hand grenades, as I call them, objections, stalls, and conditions. Well, we got a friend. We got to talk to other people. Blah, 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 blah. All those things, you spend the last 5 minutes handling those. So bigness for 5 minutes, how to sell, not list homes, your marketing strategy and the bleeding edge stuff for 5 minutes, and then objections, stalls, and conditions. And that gives you your 20 minutes of presentation. I close with this. After you've seen what I do, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to list your home, use my company, use my marketing plan to get things started tonight? If we can agree on price, would you be prepared to move forward? And I wait and I listen and I wait. Okay. If they say, nope, we love what we've seen, we love what you're doing, your marketing plan, we're all good, we're good to go, Wade, then that's great. If I'm getting a hesitation and I'm getting silence, you use this technique called the what is it technique. Write this down, the what is it technique. It's not on the slide deck here. So I'll go back and say, you know, I did my marketing plan and I'm just curious, you're not comfortable with moving forward. So was it something about me? Or was it something about my brokerage? Was it something about my marketing plan? Was it something about the fee for services? Was it something about the presentation that I'm missing? Because I really, truly want to make sure that I'm doing things and getting things and that, and to build your business and that before I move forward. So if I can go back and recapture and deal with the things I'm missing out, and they say, yes, we're good now, if we can agree on price, we'll move forward, then I'll lead into my pricing presentation. Again, I have a formal pricing presentation, just like my listing presentation. I can teach you guys moving forward on that as well. Now, I finished my pricing presentation. Just so you know, here's a little nugget for you. I never, ever pull out the comps, okay? I repeat, I'll never pull out the comps. I'll have the comp book with me and leave it for them and sit it on the table, but I'll never pull it out. Here's why. You guys, I'm a firm believer that agents are overpricing properties because they're being punished for you guys pulling out comparables. Yes, pulling out comparables. And you send a message to the seller that upsets them. It infuriates them. It gets them defensive in that they feel like that house doesn't compare to mine. I have the better shelves, the better nails. The way we've been doing this and showing them comps and that you're being penalized and they're being upset and they're forcing you to take an overpriced listing for you, insinuating that that properties and those properties compared to theirs. So I'll teach you guys in another session on how to do a pricing presentation and how to not even talk about comps and get them to choose a better listing price than they were going to choose before you got in that door. That's another session. Now, I don't ask them to sign anything. I ask them to give me their authorization. So again, the 80s call, don't ask anybody to sign anything. Could I get your authorization? Empower them to authorize you to go ahead and market their property. Do not get them to sign something, get them to authorize something, and then pack up, shut up, and leave, okay? So has anybody experienced the unsell the sale moment where you had the listing and then you kept rambling on and they're like, oh my gosh, this guy's a whack job, and they tear up my listing contract and fire me all in one situation? So stop talking, pack up, wrap up, shut up, and get out and take the listing and run. Get it on the market and get back there, okay? Now that I've got your listing, here's what happens on my post-listing process, okay? The first day of listing, a bouquet of flowers is delivered to your property, to your home, with a thank you card on it, okay? This is why I do it. Number one, it enhances the listing. Number two, it shows them that I care and it wows them. Number three, I've actually picked up other agents' buyers because they've seen the level of care I take by delivering flowers to my seller on the seller's property, and they contacted me. I've not contacted them. They contacted me and said, Wade, we like what we saw at that home that we were looking. We're not comfortable with a buyer agent. We're not under an agreement. Would you feel comfortable working with us? We like the way you're taking care of those sellers, and we'd like that level of service when they buy. True story. Okay. So that bouquet of flowers is delivered in that on the very first day. Now, on the very first day, I also get a hold of my sellers and we start building their home property booklet. Okay. So I'm gonna send you a list of items, but in this book, we're leaving it on the dining room table. Has anybody in the room got a home book that they leave, an information book about their listing on the kitchen table or on the dining room table that's sitting there on display for all the buyer agents that know nothing about your listing, that they can go through that book and everything's in there, all the answers are in there for them? Anybody doing that in the room? Okay, perfect. So in there has receipts and invoices of all the improvements they've done. In there has descriptions of who their neighbors are. In that book has all their utility bills. In there has all their tax bills, their survey plans, their lot plans. In there has any question that a possible buyer could possibly ask about the property, about the seller, about the neighborhood, transit, the best grocery store close by. And we put this whole home seller's book together, and we leave it on display on their listing on the first days of the listing. The sellers love working with us and building that book with us and building that project together. They love the bouquet of flowers that I've delivered on the first day of their listing and that to enhance their listing and enhance their property. So those little nuggets are good post-listing little touches that you can do to wow and awe the sellers, and then to pick up some other potential buyers from stinky buyers agents that aren't showing their buyers the love that you are showing your sellers. Okay? Any questions about the pre, during, or post process, you guys? Anything? Okay. All right. I'm going to keep pressing forward here. So that's the process, and that is what I believe most top hitters are doing. Now I'm going to talk about the home listing and the seller's counseling process. So how many people in the room, hands up, actually have a defined written process on how to counsel and how to keep informed and do business with a seller during the listing process? How many have a written, clear, step-by-step follow-up process that you do to keep them happy and keep them in process? Okay, good. For those of you that don't have something, here's the process. So the very first thing I need to do is establish what I call their hot button. Okay, and you can do this with any buyer and any seller. I think it's critically important that you do this. It's a Joe Stump technique called the 5-6-7. So I sit down with the sellers, or I sit down with my buyers, and I ask them 7 questions deep, probing down to what their hot button is. Okay, write this down. Every seller is either running from something or running to something, or every buyer is either buying because they're running from something or running to something. It's your job to know what those hot buttons are. Okay. You get their hot button by going seven questions deep. So, for example, why do you want to sell? Why is that so important? So tell me more about that. So why is that so important? Tell me more about that. And you go seven levels deep and seven questions deep until you get to the root. The root will always be the pain, avoidance of pain path, or the desire of pleasure path every time. And so when we get together with buyers and sellers, I'm not being like every other agent every week saying, drop your price, drop your price, drop your price. I'm talking about what we're running from or running to, and I'm fanning those embers. It's like a fire, a campfire the next morning. I'm fanning those embers to get that, to remind you and get you back. You've got to understand that human psychology is you move their emotional meters by talking about avoidance of pain and desire of pleasure. That's what you talk about all the time, not always talking about dropping your price, dropping your price, dropping your price, okay? When we get phone calls of brokers, we're always told, they told me they were marketing experts. They couldn't market a five-year-old birthday party. They tell me to drop my price every time I want to cancel my listing. They have no marketing ideas whatsoever. And the reality is that stop telling them about their reducing the price and start talking about what they're running from and running to, okay? Now, the next step is stop winging it and follow a process. So the very first, and I think is more important question than anything now after I've got their hot button, is to ask them, what's their preferred method of communication? So, Brian, you can probably attest to this. When we have a group meeting, we have to use about 17 forms of communication and let everybody know that there's a meeting happening. How about you guys? About the same?
Yeah.
Yeah. So same reality with you guys is that you don't know what your preferred method of communication is with your clients. So ask. What do you like? Text? What do you like? Better phone? You want to meet face-to-face? Do coffee? What's your preferred method of communication? Take the time and identify what they are. Then my next question is, how often would you like to hear some communication from me? What's your expectation of that, okay? And having that discussion about what their preferred method of communication is and having that discussion about what their frequency expectations are. Now, I'm going to obviously under-promise and over-delivery on my frequency of communication. If they say, you know, get a hold of me once every 3 weeks, wait, I'm going to get a hold of them weekly. I'm going to over-deliver. We're going to have a conversation about the showing and actually how it, we cannot make the showing an Indiana Jones adventure. We needed to make it seamless and simple and talk to them about having a showing plan and how it's so simple and so easy for a buyer's agent to be able to get in there and it's seamless, okay? Another discussion I'm going to have with Brendan and his wife is talking about how there's been this massive paradigm shift on the physical activity versus the virtual activity, okay? So you talk to them about how it's not about the physical activity, but the importance of the virtual activity. And I don't know if you guys know these numbers, but here's some stats for you guys, okay? So for every 100 online views or hits, you should have one physical showing if your listing is priced properly. One physical showing for every 100 hits online, okay? So when you're doing your stats, look at their numbers. You should have one physical showing. For every 10 physical showings, you should have a physical offer. If not, you do not have a positioned, well-positioned or well-priced property, and you have an issue. So look at the physical, the virtual numbers, and look at your physical numbers, and plant the seed about the 100 views online for one physical showing. And if you don't have one, then we've got a problem. And 10 physical showings, if we get an offer. If we don't have one, we've got a problem as well. Okay. Now, the next thing I do is, and I don't know if you have this, but write this down. Put a package of the 10 best questions you can ask a consumer that inquires about their home. Okay. So we talk about the importance of qualifying. So I will show them my 10 best qualifying questions that I ask a consumer that inquires about their home, because I want to make sure that the only person that gets in is a person that's qualified for them. Ironically, these power questions will also save my ass if there's no physical showings on my listing. They'll just think I'm doing a really good job of asking good, powerful, engaging, qualifying questions, and they won't be mad at me because there's no physical showings on the listing. They're like, oh, Wade's doing a great job. He's using those power questions, and we don't have any physical showings, so he must be qualifying hard, and that's what we hired him to do. So thank you, Wade. The other 10 questions I'll have is power questions that I ask the cooperating buyer agent about their buyer. And I literally give the questions to my sellers and use those questions to protect myself in case there's slow virtual show or physical showings on their property as well. Okay. So, and they love the fact that you have power questions for qualifying, because that again will separate you guys. I actually put those qualifying power questions in my pre-listing package because I bet you anybody in the room have power qualifying questions that you put in your package for your sellers before you meet with them. Because, and wouldn't you agree that's one of the most important skills that they hired us for, is to make sure that only the best get my house, not all the tire kickers and the looky-loos. So there's a little nugget for you to add to your pre-listing package, okay? We talk about the feedback process and how we do feedback. I just ended up saying 3 tries, call them. No news is good news, but call them. So Kelly or Barb, my assistants, would say, hi, it's Kelly calling from Wade's office. Just to let you know, we've tried 3 times. No response. We wanted to know we tried, and we don't have anything for you. So I'm going to have to assume that no news isn't good news. Have a great day. People love to hear something. They hate to hear nothing. Okay. All right. Now, the next thing is weekly or bi-weekly physical reports, written reports. So in your reports are all the things that you were advertising and marketing in your listing presentation should be in your report. Your online activity, your offline activity, statistics, things like that, comps and things like that. Put together a nice formal bi-weekly or tri-weekly package report and send it to them. And then every 3 weeks, I set up a 21-day in-office consulting session with them. I make them come to the office. My assistant will book the appointment, and we sit down and we review the last 3 weeks of what's happened, and we talk about your hot buttons, and then I ask them what we're waiting for, what should we do different, what should we be doing, and let the idea of a price reduction come from them, not from me, okay? And that, and do that. So we have the physical, anybody having their clients come in every 21 days and having a consulting advisement session with them face-to-face, it's a game changer for getting price reductions. So I encourage you to set up every 3 weeks, bring them in, have a come to Jesus with you, and have a session with them, and then I ask them, you know, what should we do different? What are we waiting for? You know, I'm missing something here. Why aren't we doing it? And, you know, and let them, the suggestions come from them. I forgot one nugget in my report. Every time I put a report in, I'm sending them another remarketing strategy. So I'm giving them a marketing idea that's not something I shared with them the outset. So here's some of the ideas I send in the reports. So I might suggest using an odd asking price, like $498,765. And then my remarketing idea next week might be, let's get it pre-home inspected and remedy the home inspection, okay? So they'll pay for the home inspection. I'll put on their schedule A of their listing contract that I'll reimburse them full amount for the home inspection and get it pre-home inspected. My nugget for the next week might be, get a third-party bank appraisal done. Again, they'll pay for the appraisal. I'll reimburse them in full when the house sells. Maybe get it staged. Maybe get a handyman. Maybe do something else. So I keep sending them another idea that they could do. And then when we get together every 3 weeks, they're saying, you know, I like those ideas, Wade, but wouldn't it be just easier if we just reduce our price? And I'm like, that's a great idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that. But you, again, they complain that you don't give them any ideas and marketing strategies. So I'll give you some ideas in that. One of my favorite is a Dutch auction. Anybody know what the Dutch auction strategy is? A Dutch auction is where we market the property. It's reduced X number of dollars every week until it's sold. So it creates a real buzz in their home. A lot of sellers love the idea, but they're scared and nervous about marketing the property X number of dollars a week until it's sold. You put it in the realtor comments, you put it in the public comments, you get the buzz stirring on this, on the property. And that, I've used it with coaching clients, and it's sold properties even in the $1 million range, listing range. It's worked. Okay. So they just appreciate you coming up with ideas other than telling them to drop their price, okay? 2 other strategies, the Price is Right game. So I'll take them for a drive. We'll go actually preview their competing listings that they're against, and then we'll sit down and have a talk and dessert and coffee after. Anybody do that? Go and preview their competition that they have with the sellers and then take them for coffee and dessert, and then we talk about how their home compared to their competitors' homes. That's another great strategy of doing that. And then another one is, does anybody bring in like a group of people in your office for your office pricing team? So I'll get my 5 besties in the office to come by, look at their place, write the estimated sale price in the back of their business card, buy all 5 of you a beer or a coffee and that for coming by. And then I'll present those business cards of my pricing, office pricing team and that. So that's another third party pricing point that came from the 5 agents in my office and that. So that's another great seller counseling strategy that you can do to move their meters and to be able to get them to price their homes differently in that. Okay. So those are the suggestions for me for seller counseling and serving them properly during the process. Those are the ideas of how to get listings right now from sellers. Those are my ideas to what to do pre-game, during game, one stop, two stop, and then the post strategies. That any questions on the strategies or any questions for me today on the seller's process or the seller strategy or listing strategy? No, we're good.
Lots of stuff there, yeah.
Okay, good. Now, before I say a show of hands, did everybody get one new nugget today for an idea that they didn't have today? Everybody good? Awesome. So, Bryn, I'm going to send you the slide deck, and then I'll also send you the recording, and then you can fire that out to everybody. In your inbox is all the tools that I mentioned in that about the extras in this slide deck. So that'll be in there. If you think of anything else that anybody needs in regards to nuggets out of the presentation, just reach out to me and I'll get that to you guys and I'll do that for you guys. Okay.
Hey, Wade.
Yeah.
Here.
Hey, Ron.
Expand up how you get to that hot button.
The 5, 6, 7 you know, process?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Bryn, role play with me. Okay, man.
All right.
Okay. So just, hey, Bryn, tell me why and your wife want, why do you guys need to sell? Why do you want to sell?
Oh, we're thinking about it. We're not sure if it's the right time, I guess.
Okay. But forget about timing. Can you just tell me what are you hoping to do? What's the reason behind and the goal behind you wanting to sell and do something today?
Well, a house is really expensive. So we're thinking if we can find something just as good for a little bit less, maybe then we can put away more savings every month.
Okay. So tell me more about the expense of the house and the savings thing. Tell me the reasoning behind all of those strategies. What's happening there? Tell me more about that.
We find we're spending too much every month. So if we can get down to something and put maybe $1,000 away a month or something, that'd be a big difference for us.
Okay. And that thousand bucks, what would you use that $1,000 towards then? What are we looking at to the reasoning behind, and what would the $1,000 make a difference? And what would you do with that thousand?
A little bit more savings, a little bit more travel.
Okay, good. So see where he's starting to go, Ron. Now I'm leading up about question number 4 or question number 5, guys, the hot button starts to appear. So he went down the pain path, the avoidance of pain, or the pleasure path. He started with pain, but now we've all shifted to what? Pleasure. He said savings, travel. So now I'm going to say, so what would you do with those savings, Brent?
Travel.
Where would you travel to?
Jamaica.
And who would you travel with?
Maybe the wife.
Remember, this is being recorded, so we won't send the copy to the wife and the girlfriend. Maybe the girlfriend, maybe the wife. And then, why is travel with your wife so important? How does that make you feel? What's that do for you?
Don't have to worry about work and stress, and especially right. With a low mortgage at home.
Yeah. Right. So at the end of the day, guys, this is about savings. This is about living, not living life, but living life. This is about being able to do something, not being house rich and cash poor and be able to live your life better. Would that sum up your eyes? Does that sum up the reason behind what we're doing here today?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm curious, what do you think we should be doing different? What should we think you should be doing next? Like, Insanity's doing the same thing over and again. The house has been on for 386 days, man. I'm missing something here. Like you're not even gonna get to the neighboring community for a holiday, never mind Jamaica with the missus. Like, what are we waiting for, bud? Like, help me help you. What are we waiting for here?
I think we've been holding on for a good price because we're not sure what we can get for a lower price, right?
Okay.
So we want to make sure we have enough.
Okay, that's great. So now I've got another stall and objection. So now I've got what options? I've got to take Bryn and his wife out to go look at stuff and see if that works. Or I got to get them to start writing offers and see if I can get them to feel more comfortable. Or maybe what I'll do is I'll put a home seller's protection plan on your listing, Bryn. So what I'll do is we'll put a contingency on your listing, contingent upon receiving an offer. You have an opportunity to go find another property, have a longer closing, or you can rent back until you find another home. Can I write those contingencies into your schedule and give you a level of comfort to us to reposition and get the price down so that you're not forced to take an offer and be homeless? Would that be helpful to you guys?
That'd be great.
That'd be great. So now I'm going to switch up the listing and contingent upon him having three protective clauses in a Schedule A. Now, some of you in the room are saying that'll screw up the listing and kill the listing of that, but Brandon and his wife need some safety net in order to drop their price to ensure that they're not going to be homeless and they don't know where they're going at, which is a common strategy. So consider the home seller's protection plan and that and put it in the Schedule A. But thanks for going down the pleasure path, Brandon. We got to the root of it. It's travel and luxury and leisure and living life instead of just being house rich and cash poor. So he started the avoidance of pain, which is the amount of money they're spending, but he went down to the pleasure path. What was the most important thing was travel and living life and experiencing life better. So that just shows you how that 5-6-7 technique shifts from the avoidance to pain and then shifted over to the desire of pleasure. Does that help you, Ron?
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, you guys. We'll chat with you guys in a few more weeks, I think, in a couple more weeks or a month or so. And thanks for having me this morning. Happy selling out there. I hope everybody's doing well and having a good start to the year. And I'll get you this contact and information and start getting those unsolicited CMA packages out there and get some listing appointments for you guys, okay?
I think we're meeting again in May, so we'll come up with another topic for you. That'd be great.
Please, that'd be awesome. Looking forward to it. Okay, take care, everybody. Have a good week. Take care. Bye for now.
Thanks,
guys.